The last recommendation is 10H and is on the Detailed Revenue Budget 2021, details of which are in the budget book with the green colour, which is a separate supplementary document. I now request that the Council agrees, under Standing Order 20.4, that the respective budget speeches of the Leader of the Council and the respective leaders of the Liberal Democrats and the Green Party groups may each exceed 20 minutes in length, if necessary, 10 minutes in length, if necessary. Is that agreed? Yeah. I call on Councillor Harvey to give the budget speech on behalf of the administration.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I'm not sure if I'll manage this in 10 minutes. 15 pages. Members, it's an improvement on the 32 pages we had at one stage. Thank you very much. Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'm pleased to present, on behalf of this Conservative administration, the budget report for municipal year 2020-2021. For the fourth year running, we have set below inflation council tax increase whilst delivering a balanced budget without the use of reserves, cut to services, or sales of assets. Not only this, but for the first time in living memory, on the basis of what we currently know, we have balanced the revenue budget for the next two financial years. Very few councils are in that position. Our council tax increase of 1.29% will be the lowest council tax increase of any principal council in Surrey, and is a manifestation of the value for money we are providing to our residents. For the third year running, we have kept our capital financing on a more sustainable basis by making a revenue contribution to fund non-income generating capital expenditure. We continue to focus on investing in our staff, assets and services to ensure we deliver the high quality services our residents and businesses deserve and expect. We are now focusing on delivering homes and regeneration within the borough. Our acquisition of the long leasehold of Elmsley fits centrally within this, giving us complete control over this key part of the town centre. Over the next 5 years, we are looking to deliver more than 1,000 new homes across the borough to help the housing needs of our residents. We will be delivering affordable key worker and emergency accommodation, as well as private rental homes. Our commercial assets continue to perform robustly, with the asset values increasing. The tenants paying their rent on time, and those assets which were fully let on acquisition remain fully let. These assets are generating net income of £10 million per annum for the council to support the delivery of services for our residents. This is after meeting all costs, including interest, which is fixed for the duration of all of our loans, and crucially, capital repayments, as well as building a significant sinking fund. Terry, correct me, I believe that's about £6 million a year building. This has offset the very substantial loss of grant income from central government and other funding. The funding has enabled us to continue to invest in our independent living services to help future-proof it and ensure it can continue to meet the needs of our residents. We are looking to embrace the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy, CIPFA, new financial management code, and have invited CIPFA to the council a couple of weeks ago for a very positive workshop to explore how we can build on our existing governance arrangements to further improve our resilience. In June, at our invitation, the Local Government Association, the LGA, will be coming to do a corporate peer review focusing on finance and property. Our commercial assets income means that we are able to put forward a balanced budget, strengthening our reserves and service delivery capacity, even though 2020-21 will be the fourth year in which this council will receive no general revenue support grant from the government, or have a significant cut in our new homes bonus grant, this time 27%. That's £203,000 cut. Over the last 3 years, we have had reduced funding from Surrey County Council for recycling and independent living support. To date, approximately a £500,000 per annum loss. We are adding net £6 million to our sinking fund reserves and setting aside £1.4 million into a planned projects fund to pump prime and facilitate a existing pipeline of projects across the borough. As mentioned, at least £900,000 of this fund will be ring-fenced towards providing a greenbelt protection fund. The fact that we are adding to reserves rather than drawing them down, like a number of councils, is reflected in the latest set of scores from the CIPFA Resilience Index. By the end of 2020-2021, we will have £22 million in our sinking fund reserve. We are maintaining the funding of our capital programme on a more sustainable footing after decades of relying on selling assets and spending capital receipts. For the third year running, we are ensuring the capital spending which is not funded by a specific grant and which does not generate future income streams, for example housing developments or cashable savings, will be funded from revenue contributions to capital. In this budget there is a £750,000 revenue contribution towards capital. In contrast to our position of continuing to maintain our budget on a sustainable basis, Surrey County Council still faces very significant financial pressures and is balancing its 2020-2021 budget by a combination of £38 million of service transformations and an additional income from the adult care project. We have not only managed to avoid significant frontline service reductions, but we are investing in staff, assets and resilience. The main areas of investment in this budget relate to housing, planning, independent living, resourcing our response to Heathrow's expansion. Obviously that's slightly changed today. Staffing. We need to retain skilled and dedicated staff in order to deliver our services to our residents. In recent years we have lost staff even to smaller neighbouring councils in a number of professional service areas. The budget year 2020-21 is the first year for which we are setting the staff pay increase following discussions with the union under the new local collective agreement. We have reached agreement with the local branch of Unison on a 2.5% increase in pay for all staff. This is reflected in the budget for 2020-21. A significant cost pressure for us in this budget round has been the increase in employer pension contributions following the triennial valuation. As a result of our establishment numbers having risen by 73 full-time equivalents since the previous valuation in 2016, reflecting the investment in staff resources we have made, our required contributions have risen significantly. In order to avoid compounding the pressures we face in 21-22, with the potential impact of negative grant and loss of business rates, we are bearing the majority of the additional impact up front in year one with an additional cost of £1.1 million. By bearing most of the additional cost up front, which we are able to do because of our robust financial position, rather than spreading evenly over 3 years, we receive an interest saving of approximately £60,000, which is a comparable rate of return to that we could achieve by investing the cash elsewhere. Like most of the UK public sector and particularly local government, this council is facing a challenging financial future, not only because of expected future cuts in the amount of business rates we are allowed to retain, but also because of financial and economic uncertainty. 2020-21 will be the fourth year we do not receive any revenue support grant. We've been facing the prospect of having to pay the government a grant of £750,000, i.e. effectively a negative grant. The government has delayed implementing this for a further year until 21-22. This has helped make balancing the 2020-21 budget easier, but looms large for 21-22. With only a one-year spending review period in place, we have no certainty as to how much business rates we will be allowed to retain beyond 2020-21. We will learn in the coming year the outcome of the so-called Fair Funding Review, which will determine how the pot is divided up, and then we have the implementation of the so-called 75% business rates retention scheme nationally, which could transfer business rates away from us. In our outline budget projection, we are assuming a reduction in 21-22 in the funding we are allowed to retain by central government of more than £1.5 million. Before I focus on our revenue budget, I would like to touch on our capital strategy and the approach we have taken to managing risks with respect to the commercial asset acquisitions we have made. As the capital strategy makes clear, having successfully closed the underlying revenue gap created by the withdrawal of government funding, we are currently not actively pursuing commercial acquisitions out of the borough and are now focused on driving regeneration and housing delivery within the borough. As well as acquiring the high-value, high-profile, income-generating commercial properties focused on by the media, we have also been buying smaller strategic sites in the borough that can be converted into residential properties. Excuse me. We now have sufficient land and property as a result of these smaller strategic acquisitions to provide over 1,000 homes over the forthcoming 5 years. The focus of any finance raising initiative will therefore be on shorter term requirements to cover shorter term cost pressures. We will continue to manage very carefully our commercial property portfolio with regular reports on the portfolio as a whole, monitoring the financial health of tenants and using internal and external expertise to manage the properties. We are currently setting aside £6 million per annum to build up sinking funds to cover future risks. This does not mean we are closed to other outstanding opportunities within our preferred area. The government has announced changes to the controls over council tax increases, with upper tier councils allowed to levy. A 2% adult care precept, and police and commissioners allowed to increase Band D council tax by up to £10 on a Band D property. That's 3.83% for Surrey Police. The limit of the greater of 2% or £5 per year on a Band D property will apply to districts and boroughs. In our case, a £5 increase equates to a 2.4% increase. We need to bear in mind that we need to prepare for potentially very significant funding reductions in 21-22 onwards, possibly in excess of £1.5 million. We have decided to increase council tax for 2020-21 by an amount that is significantly lower than the maximum increase allowed by the government. We will increase our council tax by 1.29% or £2.61 on a Band D property. This is significantly less than the rate of inflation on either a retail price index, RPI, or a consumer prices index, CPI basis, and less than the increases in council tax being made by Surrey Police, 3.83% or £10 on Band D, and Surrey County Council, 3.99% or £38 on Band D. Indeed, this will be the lowest council tax increase of any council in Surrey. Our proposed increase on an average Band D household is equivalent to an increase of £2.61 per annum, or just 5 pence extra per week. Coupled with the fact that Spelthorne retains just over 10 pence in every pound of council tax we collect on behalf of ourselves, the police and the county, we believe this demonstrates our commitment to keep our portion of the bill as low as we can whilst protecting local services. Underlying interest rates continue to remain at historically low levels. However, in October 2019, the government, without any prior warning, increased the margin on Public Works Loans Board rates available to local authorities by 100 basis points. While some of this impact has been offset by underlying rates falling back since then, this has increased in the short term the cost of the source of loan finance. although PWLB rates are still comparable to what they were at the end of 2018. To be clear, this does not affect our existing PWLP loans, all of which are fixed rate for their term. So we are working with our Treasury Management advisors to explore alternative funding sources. In contrast, we earned an average of 4.75% on our core cash investments for the first 6 months of 2019-20, whilst maintaining a sensible and prudent approach to risk. An average rate of return of 4.75% is an excellent return compared to the 0.5% many councils currently accept. The capital programme of 66.5 million for 2020-21 before the council concludes. 6.4 million pounds in 2021 to complete the Caesar Court housing phase one development of 55 flats. 4.25 million for the White House Hospital, the single person homeless, which would be funded from a combination of Homes England grant and Section 106 receipts. £3 million for completing the conversion of the West Wing of the Council offices here at Knoll Green into 25 affordable housing flats. £2.8 million for a new fit for purpose Harper House for emergency accommodation for families. £8 million for initial improvements to the Elmsley site. £15.75 million on a number of housing and regeneration schemes across the borough. £20 million for potential regeneration strategic acquisitions within the borough. In 2023-24, we have provision for £1.3 million contribution towards River Thames scheme for flood relief. The importance of this has been put into perspective by recent weather patterns. We want to work in partnership with public sector colleagues, including health, tangible examples are the Ashford Hospital residential development, where we are working with the Trust, where the vast majority of new homes will be for key workers. In the meantime, in order to meet our financial challenges, we will focus ever more closely on maximising revenue income from assets, generating new income streams, for example, commercial refuse, procurement savings, flexible use of technology, and looking to use applications in smarter ways. Looking at how we deliver and prioritise services to residents, reducing the running costs of our operational assets. Most notably, we have reduced the size of our office footprint by 40%, which has enabled the creation of 25 affordable housing units, the progress of which can be observed by looking at the chamber windows here tonight, while also reducing our office running costs in terms of business rates, heat and light, etc. Achieving a 40% reduction in office space is a significant outcome. I would like to thank all staff based at Knoll Green for their contribution to helping make this happen. Mr. Deputy Mayor, before I conclude, I would like to reiterate this administration's recent key achievements. Delivering additional affording homes to meet the needs of our residents, first priority. Proactively pursuing initiatives to ease the pressure on our homelessness register. We are investing financial resources into reducing our environmental footprint. The West Wing will have a photovoltaic units above the affordable flats. I think they mean solar panels.
Photovoltaic.
Well, they were in my day anyway. We are building high environmental standards into our developments. Next month we receive delivery of 2 electric pool vehicles, and I have been promised an early driving one, that should be fun. And we're looking to transition our existing fleet towards electric vehicles. We now have 2 e-bikes, one of which I saw Kerry test driving the other day, quite interesting, of which the Chief Financial Officer has already tried out. Having generated £10 million of ongoing net income per annum can enable us to protect and enhance the services for our residents, in contrast to some other councils in Surrey and many across the country. Continuing to maintain an excellent rate of return on our financial investments, which places us in a good position to reinvest additional capital receipts. Equally, we are responding to the needs of our younger residents, maintaining and refurbishing play areas in our parks. We continue to provide support for voluntary sector organisations across the borough with a direct support budget of £210,000. And once discretionary business rates belief and support in kind is taken into account, the value of that support is equivalent to more than £600,000 per annum. I would like to thank the Chief Executive and his management team, especially Terry Collier and his financial colleagues, and all of the staff for their support and assistance in preparing this budget. I'd also like to thank all councillors for making their contribution towards the council operating more efficiently by embracing paperless agendas for committees. I know this has resulted in the occasional technical issue. Given the future challenges we face, it is important that we all, councillors and officers, continue to be focused on working more efficiently and making smarter use of technology. I now formally move that the recommendations of the Cabinet of the 26th of February 2020 set out within the budget book, detailing the precepts by the County Council and Surrey Police and the Band D Council Tax Levy for the year 2020 to 2021, and commend this budget to the Council. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Can
thank
I just say,
thank you.
Off script, thank you very much to everybody who's worked together. Overall, we have a fantastic team, officers, members, and other staff, and we are really in a very good place. And I want to thank you all very much for how much everybody works together. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Is that proposal seconded? I would like to second that, please. Thank you, Councillor Harman. I now call upon the leader of the Liberal Democrats group, Councillor Sandra Dunn.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I would like to take the opportunity to thank the leader for prior sight of his budget speech, as this allows me to make more relevant comments. Firstly, I would like to thank the council officers for their hard work over the last fiscal year, and we are all in full agreement that the negotiated agreement with Unison of 2.5 is a fair settlement in order that we retain our skilled and dedicated staff. It is also noted that extra pressure has been put on our gross expenditure by the increase in employer pension contributions, and we support the front loading of making up the deficit. This is the first year of our new council term with a markedly different political makeup, and we are all having to learn our respective roles. We all want to make the borough a better place to live in for all our residents. As an opposition group, we are seeing things which we need to question and scrutinise, and there are times when we feel completely shut out of the decision-making process. For example, the local plan working party. We recognise the strong financial position that we currently find ourselves in because of commercial property investments. However, we are not in favour of any further extension of the portfolio. The National Audit Office has cautioned against dependence on commercial property income to support services. The NAO goes on to point out that there are inherent potential risks associated with the acquisition of commercial property. The leader has told us that we need to prepare for potentially very significant funding reductions from next year. For this reason, we believe that Spelthorne element of the council tax should be increased by the maximum allowance of 2%. This would cost a Band D householder an additional 1.26 per year. an increase in which would increase our income by £50,000. Failure to do this is an unnecessary political gesture. Turning to the capital programme, we are not confident of plans for future development. The council has already wasted hundreds of thousands of pounds on aborted projects at Northumberland Close and the Staines Leisure Centre. Large sums are included in the capital estimates for undefined projects. For example, 20 million described only as investment acquisitions. We welcome the strategic commitment to increasing affordable housing within developments. However, over the past few years, we have fallen far short of our aspirations and have much ground to make up. It is disappointing to note that the application by Spelthorne Borough Council at Victory Place for 115 houses includes only 6 affordable units. We generally support the cost savings identified and the opportunities for generating new income streams, but the level of detail available does not enable us to analyse these closely. We have concerns over some of the elements of the growth bids associated with asset management consultants and agency staff. We would like to see the commercial and building parts of the budget separated out so that the costs are transparent. We note and endorse the continuation of grants and other supports to local charities. We also welcome the funding of initiatives for facilities for our younger residents. We recognise that this is only possible to make these choices as we are a solvent council. Looking forward, we must make the best possible choices for our community, and this should be done in a transparent way involving all stakeholders. The opposition parties were only able to view the predicted figures of this budget 48 hours before this meeting, and it is therefore an impossible task to construct an alternative budget. If the council adopted a committee system instead of a cabinet system, then all parties would have input and this situation would not arise. In conclusion, my group are unable to support this budget as there are too many areas of concern. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. I now call upon the leader of the Green Party, Councillor Jan Dorfell.
Thank you very much. I need to state in advance that I have received detailed information by Terry Collier, and we will be studying that and then getting back in writing. I must agree with my colleague Sandra Dunn in terms of feeling shut out from the process, about the lost revenues on Northumberland Close, which was £250,000, which is entirely unacceptable, and the fact that due to insufficient and real consultation, Staines Leisure Centre had so much money spent on that. That's just unacceptable. These are public funds, and it's not for people just to spend them as if it's your own budget. We will then get back to you in terms of any further details. As I said, we'll have to study the emails, and I must also agree that 30x hours or so to deal with detailed budgets is not acceptable. That's not sufficient time.
Thank you, Jan. Well, thank you all for those presentations. Do any members have any comments or questions? Councillor Beardsmore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Well, it's not surprising what I'm going to talk about. It's the £900,000 for Greenbelt, basically because I'm the one who asked for it. And I've been going on about this for a while. In fact, when I was discussing with the leader before I even took this job, one of the first things I actually said to him, I said, are you really genuinely concerned with the Greenbelt? He said, yes. I said, really? And I said, you do realise that you're going to need some money to defend at least some of it. Something I don't think we can defend, but we can try. But it's a question of how much we can defend. So initially this money is for predatory development, predatory planning applications. We've had that warning letter, which I referred to earlier, from the Ministry. We are now on 20% contingency because we're so far behind with our planning numbers. And it's always a chance, and it's happened in other authorities, that some developer takes a look at that. Chances there are, the spill are not performing, they're way behind my bidding green belt. I want it in. So we say, fine, Sunshine, we've got 900,000 quid there, bring it on. Oh, well, maybe not this time. So it's a, bluntly, it's a threat to the superficial predatory development like that. And the number one puncturist fund was, the idea was predatory development. We know we've got it at Kempton Park. We've got it at Tarmac in Leyland. And I'm meeting both Kempton and Leyland residents in the next couple of weeks to discuss this in more detail and listen to all their fears. I've met Tarmac, I haven't met Kempton. I met Kempton a couple of years ago, which is public record that I met them and spoke to them. So that's the number one aim for this green belt, this fund, is to stop predatory development over and above the 19. And I say 19, I don't think it's going to be 19. It's going to be changed. We're going to listen. There's all sorts of stuff flying in. We've got to look at all the responses. So when I say 19, I'm thinking 16 to 20. So that's what I actually mean. It's just easy to say 19, you've got the number locked in your head. And I think one of the problems is everybody's become so fixated on the 19. They've lost sight that other sites that we think are strongly performing and we want to defend are actually also likely to be attacked. And they're going to be attacked by barristers who are on £1,000 an hour. And people do not realise the tightrope spell form are on. They really haven't got it, and listening to some talk today, they haven't. Because on the one side, we are likely to put in a plan which has too much green belt in it for us as members and for residents. On the other hand, we're likely to put in a plan which the government doesn't meet government expectations, falls badly short, and doesn't meet developer avarice. In fact, we've managed to hack off everybody at the moment. Nobody likes us, because we're not doing what either side wants. The thing is, when you actually face that situation, it's not even. The government have the law on their side, the developers have the money on their side. We have neither. And we can see all the protests, we can see all the complaints, we can agree with everything they're saying, and it comes to public inquiry, and the developers' barristers will blow through that like that. That's why we need a fund, where we can.
Councillor Beardsmore, yeah. Could I ask you to try and focus on the budget?
I'm focusing on the £900,000, Mr. Mayor.
We know.
Because I think members want to know why it's happening.
We do know that you like to perform, but.
But seriously, Mr. Mayor, you know, it's a lot of money. I don't think any other council has done this. I am deeply worried about the threat to our green belt, and it is actually very difficult for me because I haven't voted for a Conservative budget for at least 20 years. And I can't really vote against a budget that I actually put getting what I want out of. And actually, joking apart and being serious, I've got to balance up my political bias against what I think about the green belt. And I have a very difficult decision to make is, do I vote to defend the green belt, or do I just say my political bias is always that I'm not going to vote, or I'm not going to vote for it. So I'm actually going to break the habit of more than 20 years, and I'm going to support the budget. Because when it comes down to it, I don't want anybody looking at the recorded vote saying, didn't want to support green belt, didn't want to support green belt, didn't want to support green belt. This is not a Conservative budget as far as I'm concerned. This is a budget for our green belt. That's what this budget is about. And I know that Councillor Harvey's not going to necessarily agree with me. He's going to say there's all these other good things and all this stuff. Yeah, all right, yeah, we can do it. But I think most residents will see this as a serious attempt by this authority to fight for our green belt. Because on top of this, we also have other things we might be able to do. We are going to look at all the representations. if there is anything in there that we can hang on to, that we can grab, that we can say, we need to investigate this further and maybe defend another piece of green belt or take another piece of green belt out of the application.
Councillor, you've had 5 minutes. Can you wind up? Thank you.
Okay, it's not a Tory budget, it's a green belt budget.
Thank you, Councillor Beersmore. Councillor Sanikopoulos.
Saliagopoulos, Mayor. Thank you so much, thank you. Oh my goodness me, anyone else put your hand up if you were thinking this was becoming the Ian Beardsmore Roadshow? Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Forgive me, Ian knows I can tease him and he always forgives me. I tell you what I picked up in that budget, something quite important to all of us. Is that I'm very pleased to see that the council's making a commitment about the flooding and the funding towards the flooding. And for that reason, I will be supporting the budget. And I think it's very positive and very timely. And may I just ask a very quick question, Mr. Mayor? Very quick question on the budget. Because in the revenue budget, we talk about the amount of money that the council puts puts aside for us to look after our water courses and so on. I just want to ask the leader, and I'll forgive him if he hasn't got an answer to this, but I think he knows what I'm going to ask him. How are we getting on with the riparian rights? It's a very difficult subject, but maybe one that we really ought to get a hold of now, and that is every resident in this borough who has the river at the end of their garden, not the river, I'm thinking of one sweet ditch or part of the river, is responsible for the upkeep of that watercourse. It's not the council's responsibility. And part of the question is also this, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Do we feel that residents are listening to us? Because what I'm noticing, and again I'm hooking my question into the budget, is that some people are looking after the ditch at the end of their garden, and you go 500 metres down the end, and no one's bothered with it. So, just a quick update. I'll finish now. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Okay. Are there any other questions, comments? Councillor Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, I think that the Chief Finance Officer, our own Chancellor, if you like, and his staff are to be congratulated on this budget. And I feel sure that all members in this chamber, and I've heard what Councillor Dunn has said, and a brief statement of Councillor Durfield, that our council tax increase will be the envy of many Surrey boroughs. Our capital, well, strategy in simple terms is to invest, create and deliver. And we have done just that. We are investing in commercial property, which will deliver an ongoing sustainable income stream to support development activity. And we are creating new housing for residents and regenerating our town centres, in particular Staines-upon-Thames, which I personally regard as the capital of the borough, as well as delivering the affordable homes which the market fails to provide. Beyond housing, our capital strategy will also help us meet our need to upgrade and maintain operational buildings, infrastructure in the borough, vehicle fleet and our IT infrastructure. But what if we hadn't invested? Well, this would have led to major cuts in services, particularly the services that we are not under a statutory to deliver, such as our day centres, Meals on Wheels, Spell Ride Community Transport, Leyland Park Pavilion, and new Meals on Wheels vehicles. It would also have led to a reduction in the overall capacity of the council to deliver for residents, leading to, for example, reduced maintenance of our parks and open spaces, reduced frequency of waste collections, and the inability to plug certain gaps which are emerging as a result of Surrey County Council cuts on social care services. Mr. Deputy Mayor, some of these cuts would have hit old and vulnerable residents the hardest. But through the additional income, we have managed to put our revenue budget on a more sustainable footing by ceasing to use reserves to support the revenue budget. Mr. Deputy Mayor, I would endorse the Leader's comments, and that is, I would hope that all members of this Council would support this budget. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Bidsmore.
Understanding all as I could, I would ask that we move a motion that we continue this meeting to the conclusion of this item.
I just want to talk for 2 minutes, please, really quick.
Can you stand up, please, when you speak, please? Can you stand up?
Don't worry about it.
Yes. We're now going to take the motion. With those in favour, please show. We shall continue until the finish of this item. Thank you. Councillor Smith Ainsley.
A lot of what I was going to say has been touched on or more fully explained by other members. But just a couple which I'll probably be reiterating. I think the council is doing very well. It's on a very sound financial footing, probably on the soundest financial footing of any of the boroughs in Surrey. And so we've got that situation, but we're not ignoring the elderly, the infirm, those that haven't got money. So we're spending money on day centres, we're spending money on the spell ride, and so we're spending money on people who are homeless. So we're doing our best to look after the residents of Spell Ride. And the one bit that I'm pleased about is Council Harvey says that we're having a 1.29% council tax increase. We've always said with this council tax increase that if you, even though the government were offering money for people not to increase their council tax, that by accepting that, you don't increase your council tax base. By increasing it year on year, and this is not a lot of money, this is a pint of beer, 0.29%, but by increasing it, you're making sure your council tax base is rising, and that's the logical way to do things. And I don't think that saying we should have increased it by the maximum is a reason to vote against this budget, because what we have done is a very prudent increase of the council tax, and it looks to me like this is a very prudent budget. And as Councillor Sider was saying, there's a lot in there which does a lot for our residents, and I would ask members opposite to support this budget, because this is a budget that shows the way Spellform is going and what it's done and our progress, and a lot of other councils should be able to do the sort of things that we've been doing over the last few years to benefit their residents. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We have five councillors who wish to speak, and I would ask you to please keep it brief. Comments or questions, that's fine, but please keep it brief, and we'll now take Councillor Cohen.
Thank you. Yeah. Do I have something else? Okay, sorry, it's okay. Fine. Just to say, Ian, you had your chance to vote to defend the Greenbelt, and you blew it. You voted for. So I'm sorry, you can't say you defend the Greenbelt at all. You had your chance to vote that we would not release the Greenbelt, and you didn't, Ian. So I'm sorry. How can you say you defend it? That's absolutely outrageous. Limited role of councillors in the local plan is, well, I mean, I'm absolutely speechless.
Councillor, could I ask you please to stick to the budget? Thank you.
I mean, are people making up the local plan? Are people from Laleham, Shepperton and Sunbury? There is absolutely no representation of people in Ashford.
I'm sorry, I have to ask you to stop.
This meeting,
please sit down. Thank you. We'll now take Councillor...
Okay, I'm going to move to the budget then.
And Harvey. Councillor Harvey.
Didn't even know how much wasted money is being spent.
Point of order. Ian Beardsmore didn't just talk about the budget either. I think it's very rude to treat a councillor like that.
Councillor Dorfell, will you also sit down?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I request the right to speak, please. Also, the fact in a question from Councillor Nicholls, the leader showed no
knowledge
of the wasted money spent. This is pertinent to budget. The leader showed no knowledge of the wasted money spent.
Would you please sit down? This is a debate about the budget.
It's completely irrelevant.
Please sit down.
And also, you cannot be trusted on the delivery of 50% of affordable housing.
Is the officer here?
If you don't sit down and be quiet, I will have you removed. I don't want to do that. I want to keep these meetings friendly and orderly.
Well, I think that's outrageous considering
if you wish to speak about the budget, stand up and speak about the budget. But this is not a scenario for having a snipe at various councillors. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, councillor.
Mr. Mayor, may I move a motion that the vote now be put, please? Can we put the vote on the budget and be done with it?
No, we can't do it. I wish we could, but we can't. We now have to listen to other councillors. Councillor Harvey, thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Deputy Mayor. This is an exemplary budget, one of the best in the country. And once again, our small borough, Spelthorne, is pushing well above its weight. My compliments to Terry, his team, and Councillor Tony Harmon for their excellent hard work, which has gone on for many months into producing this. Noteworthy highlights. No cuts to services, no redundancies, a pay increase across the board of 2.5%, no use of reserves. And due to the innovative vision and leadership of Councillor Harvey during the past 4 years, Spelthorne residents can now tangibly begin to witness the benefits of his commercial investment strategy, which now generates over 10 million additional revenue to this council. And now we are in the enviable position of generating a significant budget surplus this year. So that now we have placed 900,000 minimum into a Greenbelt Defence Fund. I am sure our residents will agree that this administration has listened and appreciates your concerns. And we are serious about defending our Greenbelt, and we are putting your money where your mouth is, drawing a line in the sand, so to speak, and demonstrating that we are serious and mean business to defend our borough against unwarranted initiatives from developers on our Greenbelt and green spaces. I commend this budget to members and say, if you want to defend the Greenbelt, vote for this excellent budget. If you do not support this budget, then you are supporting predatory significant development on our Greenbelt.
Thank you. Councillor Rubinsky.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would like to commend the work of this excellent budget done by officers and members. The £900,000 ring-fenced to defend building on the Greenbelt is a very positive way to show residents that we are serious about fighting developments. To vote against this budget would threaten this pool of money. The work that this council has done to make sure that we do not overcut services is very commendable, and I will fully support this budget.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, many detailed points have been made, which I'm definitely not going to reiterate, but I do hope people listen to them. I will just put a different point to you. You have the luxury of being able to face your residents and say that you are not cutting their services. We have been through a long journey here, as most councils have, and we've come out to where we are now, but we are not looking constantly every minute at every little penny-pinching thing that we need to do in order to survive and deliver, as we must, a balanced budget. So we are delivering a balanced budget in a good, robust financial position. And perhaps you don't, those of you who are new to the chamber, you know, you can't quite take on board or you're not aware from the past, but the huge amounts of money that have been taken away from us over the last few years and the absolutely appalling cuts and changes that we would have to do, and we wouldn't be supporting our vulnerable residents in the way that we wish to. nor will we have the money to make improvements and move ahead. So I do beg you to bear that in mind. Don't throw away, just because it's a political whim or something, the fact that we are in a really good position for our residents, which is the one thing that binds us all here in this chamber.
Yes. Thank you, Councillor. Now we have two more councillors who wish to speak, and after that we will go to the vote. Councillor Nicholls.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I just feel the need to express my concern that rather a lot of councillors seem to have gone down with some sort of virus. I hope it's not an epidemic. I will curtail some of what I wanted to say. We've heard so much about the commercial property. We are borrowing for 50 years on complex commercial properties. Puts me in mind of what Cho En Lai said about when he was asked about the French Revolution. He said it was too early to tell. And that's true of any form of long-term risk. This council needs better scrutiny. The Local Government Association, the Centre for Public Scrutiny, both set out clear expectation of pre-budget scrutiny. That does not happen at this council, and that is wrong. We still have our accounts unsettled. KPMG, we, as the members of this council, are sitting here saying we don't care about what our external auditors say. We must care, and we should be worried that our accounts aren't signed off and that KPMG haven't finished. That is not good enough. Our project management and our reporting. There's no input from the councillors on project formation, they just mystically appear. We've had a red audit point on procurement, and yet nothing much happens about that. All the members, all of us should be concerned about these things. We are expected to increase our debt by 150 million over the next 3 years, and yet we still continue to create inadequate business cases, which wouldn't get anywhere in a bank or any other bank, but certainly in my experience in the civil service, they wouldn't get through the door because they are not robust enough, they don't set out measurement criteria, and we are living in a fool's world if we think that's good enough. The budget itself contains multiple unclear items. There is an item described as the Project Delivery Fund, 1.4 million. I suspect that may have some bearing on the 900,000 that Councillor Beardmore alluded to. He managed to allude to it or talk about it without ever being able to identify which line in the budget he was referring to, because it doesn't exist. The budget is not transparent. We have another line that says asset supervision costs, a new line item, 1.1 million. I don't know what it is. I don't suppose half the people in this room could tell me. Well, Terry can. And then we have things like the asset management administration. It's going down by £780,000. Oh, but there's a growth bid for £468,000. Why? What's going on? It's not explained. They're just lines and words on a piece of paper. It's not good enough. Our accounts, as they currently stand, everything we've done, we mix up the commercial, the building, and the service costs all together. You can't separate them out. You can't see them. The presentation of the accounts is not good enough for this council, and we should demand much better. And just on a small point, we continue to have documents that are untitled, undated, and no version control. The growth bid, have a look at it sometime, the annex of the growth bid. You can't see what it relates to. This is not what should happen in a well-run council. I would lastly like to refer to something which deeply disappoints me. At the last audit committee, we discussed the fact that internal audit did not have enough resource. We were told that that would go through as a growth bid. It's not come through, obviously. We have seen a decrease in audit resource since 2016. We've put on all the commercial property and we have less resource in internal audit now than we did then. I'd love to hear someone say to me that the risk has gone down and we need less internal audit. I'm not voting for this budget because it's just not good enough.
Thank you, Councillor. And finally, Councillor Boutar.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I think we got balance and surplus budget here. there's neighbouring boroughs. I'll just give you an example of Hounslow Borough. Over the years I have been associated, year after year after year, they had to make cuts. 20 million, 30 million, 40 million to balance the budget. Now, we are elected to protect our services, provide services to our residents, also provide a good healthy environment for our staff who does lots of all that work. Now this budget does protect our services. Today I was visiting all our community centres and I seen there people who are having lunch and they tell you they are happy with the service they get. And the smile on their face given me that buzz that I want to be carry on doing more. Over 1,200 individuals that we support for independent living. Now that is the people who benefit, ask them this budget. Now I support this budget because the budget ticks all the boxes that what we as councillors should be doing. Yes, there's a lot of details in there that you can question. Any budget you can question. The recent elections we had, the Labour produced their budget, Conservative produced a budget, and that was every day there were holes picked up. You can pick holes in this one as well. There is no. But what we've got to remember is this council, whether we like it or not, we have got the policy, robust policy for our commercial investment, which gives us more money than we collect from council tax. We collected just under 9 million from council tax, but this, our commercial properties, giving us 10 million net to put into our services. So we can question about, you know, we don't know what's going on, oh, that's right. That is there, and we are benefiting from it. So I think everybody in this room, in this chamber, should support this budget because the budget ticks all the boxes that we are supposed to be elected on what we're supposed to be doing. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. I will now ask Councillor RB to sum up. Thank you.
Make up for the thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Members, I'll try and comment on two of the comments that we've received. Firstly, Councillor Mr. Dunn, thank you for the positive bits of your response. You lamented the fact you only had 24 hours warning. In the five budgets that I've presented, I believe I'm right in saying this is the first time that we've actually released the budget beforehand. So, with respect, you're ahead of where we were previously. Couple of things. You comment on not supporting the investment property purchase. I think that's fairly clearly stated in our capital budget, capital strategy. We're not intending to do that. But equally, as we've all heard earlier, there is a prospect that in the future we will have significant further pressure on that budget. So we may need to readdress that. But at the moment, that's no news. That is where we are. Frankly, I'm shocked that you're suggesting that we put the council tax precept for Spelthorne residents up to the maximum. In the past, the opposition, whether it be you or others, sorry, Councillor Beardsmore, have actually suggested that we don't put it up at all. Yes. And in conversation with a number of my colleagues, we were speculating on what the Leader of the Opposition would propose. Now, we actually all agreed that you would probably be proposing we didn't put it up at all, simply based on our very good financial position. So you've actually done us a favour tonight in showing that the Lib Dems would actually have put the council tax up by more than the Conservative administration is planning to. So I thank you very much for that. You stated you want more properties, but of course you've equally made yourselves very clear that we mustn't build it on the green belt. So where are they to go? Are they to go taller in Staines, in Ashford? We've got three councils here who are already in trouble with the Staines Town Society for effectively suggesting that. So I question where we put it. You've referred to only six affordable homes of the 115 we're planning to build on Ashford Hospital car park. What you forgot to mention is the other 109, the vast majority of them will actually be for key workers. At the moment, there is no specific provision for nurses, doctors, auxiliary workers at hospitals, ambulance, police, firemen, social workers, what else? All the other key workers. Spelthorne again is leading the way in seeking to provide 109 homes for those people that keep the borough running. So, thank you very much for what you've said. I'm really disappointed that the Lib Dems will not be supporting this budget that provides 1.29% preset increase, and you will not be supporting the budget that Councillor Beardmore has said will be giving at least £900,000 towards protecting the Green Belt. That's kind of a bit hollow when you are so keen on ruling out anything happening on that. That's your policy, it's not our policy. What else can we say? Councillor Salagopoulos, I know what preparing writes up, but I don't honestly know the answer to your question off the top of my head. So, if you want a full answer, we can try and arrange that for you. Councillor Sider, you're absolutely right in everything you said. What I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, this is not a Conservative budget. This, Councillor Beardmore said it's a Green Belt budget. I would say this is a budget for the residents. It's no cut, in fact, an expansion of services, no sale of assets, no drawing on reserves, no redundancies, well below inflation increase, a surplus, which we're going to put into, amongst other things, protecting the Green Belt. And we've got, respectfully, we've got opposition here who don't think that's a good idea. Well, hopefully the press is actually tweeting this as we're going along. And I'm sure the residents of Spelthorne will be very happy to learn the policies of our opposition. But you can redeem yourselves. You can redeem yourselves. You can vote to support what is. This is now my seventh budget, actually. I've presented five, and this is my seventh budget. This is absolutely fantastic. I bet there is not another borough or district in Surrey, and probably a bit further afield, that wouldn't give their right arm to be in the position that we are tonight. I cannot express how proud I am, how grateful I am for the members who supported, for the officers, for what we have achieved. Okay, I appreciate it's difficult and palatable for Councillor Nettles, who really is more interested in the colour link that we use for crossing the T's and dotting the I's. I appreciate that. Coming from a civil service background, that's fine. But respectfully, we've not done things that are risky or dangerous. What we have done is we have met the needs of the residents. We continue to meet the needs of the residents because they're not suffering the cuts. They've not got the streetlights turned out. They haven't got the grass cut. They haven't got the Meals on Wheels. They are riding around in relatively new minibuses. And we've still got council office here, not on an industrial estate. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know what more we can do for the residents of this borough. And I'm deeply proud to be the leader of the council that's doing it. And I invite everybody to support this budget tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leader. We shall now move to a recorded vote, which we are legally required to undertake for the budget. I call upon the Chief Executive to explain the recorded vote procedure as follows. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I will, once again tonight, call out the names of each councillor in alphabetical order who is present at this meeting here. When a councillor's name has been called, the councillor shall respond clearly with one of the following three responses: for, against, abstain. No other statement or clarification of the vote is required or should be made. The vote will be recorded by the Head of Corporate Governance and then entered into the minutes. Councillors need not stand for this part of the proceedings. Councillor Ari Harvey.
For.
Councillor Harman.
For.
Councillor Barnard.
For.
Councillor Bateson.
Abstain.
Councillor Beardsmore.
For.
Excuse me, Councillor Blakeman, could you turn your microphone?
Councillor Raj.
For.
Councillor Buttar.
For.
Councillor Corns.
Against.
Councillor Dorfell.
Abstain.
Councillor J. Doran.
Abstain.
Councillor S. Doran. Councillor R. Dunn.
Against.
Councillor S. Dunn.
Against.
Councillor Fiddler.
Against.
Councillor Grant.
Against.
Councillor Harvey H.
For.
Councillor Lagdon.
Against.
Councillor Layton.
For.
Councillor Nicholls.
Against.
Councillor Rubinsky.
For.
Councillor Saliakopoulos.
For.
Councillor Sexton.
For.
Councillor Sider.
For.
Councillor Seaver.
Abstain.
Councillor Smith Ainsley.
For.
Councillor Spoor.
Against.
Thank you. Votes for the motion were 13, those against 8, those who abstained 5, therefore the motion is carried.
The motion is carried. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the formal business of this council agenda. The remainder of the business will be carried forward to the meeting, the full council meeting on the 30th of April. And I would like to make this point before we close tonight. We do have a small get-together with refreshments in the Mayor's Park, and I invite the Liberal Democrats, the Labour Party, the Green Party and the Independents to join us if they so wish with the Conservative Party, and I will be pleased to meet you there. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.